some place or we found some light. We skid the road and we skid with grace. 100 miles will be on this place where the river on high, where the river on high, where the river on high, where the river on high.
Come on by.
I think I got it right this time. Okay, here we go. Take two on the Local Love podcast. This donkey talking right now forgot to press record the first time around, so...
Yeah, but that allowed you to perfect that fade-in.
Right, yeah. Fade-in timing was money! Okay, so here we go. I'm with Gabe Romero and Levi Hallwell of Left Side Pictures. And we're going to start off by them telling you a little bit about what Left Side Pictures is and what they do, where they came from, how they started, all the good stuff.
Yeah.
Levi, let's go.
Okay. So Left Side Pictures is a collaboration between Gabe and myself. I guess we're in what would be considered the formative years of a production company. We focus on making as much creative content as possible, I guess, that, you know, we're interested in and inspired by. So that usually means short films, music videos. That's kind of what we've done up to this point. We've been doing it for about... maybe 2.5 years together up to this point, and right. Left Side Pictures as a name and kind of an idea came together maybe a year into that, so it's been about a year and a half to maybe close to 2 years of that. So far we're still hanging in there and doing it, and we're in it for the long haul, so.
Good, yeah. Good, right on. All right, Gabe, you got anything to add to the identity that Levi described? He did a much better job this time.
Yeah.
A lot less hand motions, too, I noticed, which you can let that go. It doesn't matter. They can't see shit anyway.
Okay.
So.
We can only imagine.
But you nailed it that time, I got to say. So, Gabe, maybe just kind of talk even pre-Left Side Pictures days and where you guys started.
We met in film studies in grade 12.
Okay.
We met before that at the film festival at our Notre Dame High School, where we both had films in. Levi had three.
Oh, shit.
Well,
Levi had three.
Yeah.
I had one.
Like most people, probably.
Yeah, I just had one, and mine was a school project.
His
were done out of school.
Yeah.
And then I came in first and he came in second. And
oh,
then
snap.
We became
and
friends.
Then the friend slash rivalry was born.
Yeah, I'm pretty bummed out that you brought that up.
we're 3.5 minutes in.
Yeah.
He's already
alive. It's okay. Yeah, I'm already thrown under the bus.
Yeah. I'm better. No. But that's how we met. And then I guess we wanted to work together, but we just didn't know how or why, and I just started to help him on the good old little Levi projects that he had in high school.
Right.
And then from then on, we just kind of kept in touch.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Kept trying to make stuff.
Yeah, originally it was more of a crossover of, like, Gabe was doing a lot of music.
Right.
Some filming stuff as well, but he was doing... in the early days, it was more of like Gabe was more closely associated, I guess, with music. I was doing film.
Okay.
And it was a kind of a crossover of Gabe's music needs visual elements,
mm-hmm.
and my film stuff needs musical elements.
Right.
But over time, that's just become more mixed. And how we help each other out is also always changing kind of thing. And now it is more... without even putting a label on it, sometimes it's just like, this is something I want to work on. What do you think?
Yeah.
You know? So we kind of help each other out in different ways. It's not just, this is your job kind of thing. And kind of just consulting on, you know, at its core, do you think what I'm, you know, kind of working on sounds good?
Right. Is so like, you guys are both of each other's initial sounding board, initial kind of point where you maybe generate ideas with each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you obviously, when it comes to production time, you guys work closely together and pretty much help each other.
Yeah.
Now it's more of a partnership. Like you were kind of trying to get at. I think like you guys are. You know, it's Left Side Pictures, right? Like you guys are in it together on a lot of projects.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty much. Yeah.
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 Cool. So where should we start? I guess like was Heights kind of what you would consider to be your first, or was there something pre that, or
I think Beyond This Place was the first. Mm-hmm. Was that the first thing we released?
That was the music video.
Yeah.
For the song we just entered.
Yeah. Yeah, that was kind of, I'd say, maybe the first fully collaborative project.
Well, we had done something in high school that was horrible.
Right.
That was actually the worst time.
Yeah, yeah.
That was the first time we worked together, and it was the worst thing we've ever done. And I don't know why
or
we
will
stuck.
Ever do, yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know. This is rock bottom. Yeah. I mean, this is the type of thing you want to track down every copy of it, burn it, destroy it.
Oh, no.
Well,
are we even going to talk?
It was specifically
a school project.
A school project, and let's just say, you know, it was conceived, shot, edited, and finished in maybe 14 hours. And,
okay.
It was terrible.
It's funny that was the first thing we did.
It's a truly haunting experience.
And we still stuck it out.
Yeah.
Like, there's something good here.
Yeah.
You guys thought it was good after?
No, we knew right away.
I'm like, this is garbage, but I don't mind working with this guy.
Yeah, right. But yeah, Beyond This Place, which was a song that Gabe, you know, wrote and performed and made basically all himself. Then making the music video for that, which was totally kind of like just walking out the door with a camera and, you know, having fun messing around with it. That was something that we kind of did completely together, 50-50,
right.
Passing the camera around, edited it together. And then we kind of liked what came out of it.
Yeah.
And that was, the first thing that was kind of, you know, that we shared with friends that we basically collaborated on 50-50.
Yeah.
The music video.
Yeah.
And you were just pumped. You were pretty pumped to actually put that one out there.
Yeah, I'd say so. It was, it was a good time making it, and, you know, for what we were doing at the time, you know, we were relatively happy with it, so. And the fact that we've, like, always stressed from day one the idea of completing projects.
Right.
Is, like, kind of the biggest thing that we talk about, is just, like, we have to see an idea through from, oh, it's just an idea in my head, to this is something I made. You know, for better or for worse, all the things that, you know, didn't come out the way you wanted to or whatever, it's a thing at the end of the day. You have to finish it and put it out there. And that's kind of like the biggest thing that we try to kind of hold each other accountable on is like, you know, if you talk about that idea, let's see it come to fruition.
Well, as artists, especially in that medium, I think it's a really solid, piece of identity to have, because I could see how you get a few hiccups or some things don't turn out the same way as you'd like. That could be discouraging because you have this grandiose vision of it being like perfect and exactly how you see in your head.
Yeah.
When I'm sure
it never ends up that way.
No, but once you've put in, even if you haven't put in, you know, 100 hours yet, but you've decided this is what you're going to do, you make it happen, right?
Yeah.
And I think that there's probably a lot of people out there that are just losing projects all the time because and they don't have anything to show for it because they don't have the guts to just keep going with it, I bet.
Yeah, it's like I feel like at every stage of the process you get kind of cold feet when you start making it or telling more people about it or realizing it's going to be, you know, not easy. Like you might be able to see right away it's not going to actually be the thing you wanted it to be in your head, or while you're making it, or certainly while you're editing it, then you're like really are looking at something that wasn't what you wanted.
Yeah.
And so there's discouraging moments along the way, but yeah, we've always just tried to be like, you know, we have to make things and finish them and then move right on to the next one.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so we got we don't have to go too much into the past, but so then you did Heights. Maybe Gabe, if you want to speak to that or a different project in the past for now.
We, after Heights came out, 2015?
I guess January 2015, yeah.
Yeah, and then that year I also decided to like make an EP, Suburban Soul Train.
Yeah.
And then we did that. I mean, I kind of wrote that and produced it and then tried to do everything on it. And then it's kind of crazy how, like, this year I decided to, like, take a break from music, and then I got the nomination at the YYC Music Awards, which is like,
yeah,
that was like a year too late, but I'll take it.
Yeah.
But it's kind of interesting because we made two videos for
Suburban Soul Train.
For Suburban Soul Train.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We've done four music videos in total. Yeah. No. Five.
Yeah.
I think.
Just internally, not including like Lunar Wild.
Yeah,
stuff.
No, just. Yeah. Just. Yeah, pretty much just between us two. And those are pretty much like the only ones that we've even, like, even those don't have a lot of planning or pre-production, but they're still a little bit more than some of the stuff I've done outside for, like, Left Side Pictures.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. Okay.
But what is there? There's Beyond This Place, I've been told, Leaving the City at Night, Sleepless. So that's it.
Right? And then, I technically made Indiana, but
there's
that one too.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no.
Which is good.
People actually like that way more than the song. So. They're like, I mute it, but it's great.
It's always one or the other. It's like,
yeah, that's a backhanded compliment if I've ever heard one. Yeah, the video is great.
Yeah,
yeah. Okay.
We sometimes get like one out of two. It's like, okay, you guys did a good job on this video, but bad song, or like vice versa. Video was bad this time out. Song was good. That's sometimes the case. But.
That's true. People just feel so entitled sometimes to just tell you, like, hey, you look so crappy in that photo, or like, you sound terrible here. Like, they, I don't know, it's like, they just feel this need to, like, they feel like they're doing it justice if they, like, criticize it. But
I guess it just depends on your friend circle, because at times it can be detrimental to have the other thing told too, right?
Yeah.
Like, everyone just praising your shit, basically.
We don't have enough of those friends.
Oh, well.
I can't not let that go. I have a lot of really like nice supportive friends.
Yeah.
Honestly, I've like when I have made, you know, done like not very good things, I've actually typically probably received not enough criticism.
Right.
I feel that way.
Right.
For my stuff.
Fair enough.
So
good balance of both then.
Yeah.
That's good. That's what you need. Yeah. You can't just be getting your ass kicked all
the time. It was because I lost that film festival in grade 11, and people are trying to like, hey, like, we gotta boost Levi up.
Levi was in a dark place when he lost to Gabe.
Yeah.
He's still shattered.
So to this day, people are really still trying to get my spirits up.
Still
that.
Picking up the pieces, eh?
Yeah.
And that's what Gabe leads with.
Yeah.
Just hits you hard.
Yeah.
No, our best compliment's like, that wasn't bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the way we talk, but.
So why, Gabe, why did you kind of decide to pivot off the music scene? I mean, it's probably just something that happened naturally, but what were the kind of factors that led you into changing your focus?
Well, I kind of went out kind of crazy producing that year, and I like made an EP, and I just kept producing tracks, and then I just became numb to writing, and then I thought, I just want to make a movie, and I used to make a lot of more visual stuff like years ago, but I felt like the right story, or like I really had the time to like maybe make something, and it was more to prove that I could make a movie again,
right?
And that with acting and with like an actual short film with like a story, and that was the challenge, and that felt more exciting than kind of making another EP or trying to make an album. It just felt more of a challenge.
Okay.
It felt more exciting.
Right.
But yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So we're kind of going in a timeline here. So. What other major projects would still be in their rear view, or do you want to start talking present already?
As far as there's some that are very recent, kind of in the rear view mirror in some ways.
Right.
So after we started with a few music videos, and then we did a short film called Heights, which was still. Like very, very small and very internal in a lot of ways. There's usually just me and Gabe and then one or two, you know, people in it. And then after we finished that up and had, I think that and like two music videos or three music videos under our belt, last year, we went and kind of did our first, you know, a fairly big step forward in terms of just work on a project and scale. And that was, Metanoia. So,
right.
And that's now just went online, so that's something that since, you know, that was kind of the final step was putting it online. So and pretty much it's now
pretty much case closed.
So that's a past project. Yeah.
Right. when it comes to filmmaking and stuff like just as I've got to know you guys, I definitely underestimated. You hear it's like a battle and like it's really tough to make films and stuff, but I think that the general audience wouldn't appreciate the amount of production and pre-production, the work at the start and things that go into it. And I guess I'm just trying to make the point for you guys, because even like a movie like Heights, you guys did it on like no budget, mm-hmm. with like all volunteers. Like, what are some of the kind of grinding aspects of that you've gone through in the past that you could maybe speak to? Because, like, as a filmmaker, most of the films that people are going to see are having thousands and thousands of dollars,
yeah.
put into them, right? Or
yeah.
hundreds for millions for most people, I guess, for people that just watch typical movies.
Yeah.
But the background stuff, like, what's some of the kind of quirky shit maybe you've had to do to make scenes work, and
mm-hmm.
just kind of the background stories, if there's anything that comes to mind? Like, I know you had to drive out, you were just driving around like all over southern Alberta at one point,
yeah.
just to find places
yeah.
to go, right?
Yeah, I mean, like, regardless, I think it's always going to be a lot of work, even when there's a lot of people helping you out.
Mm-hmm.
But when you don't have necessarily like any money, you do rely on favors a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you're trying to sell them by just being excited, you know, like genuinely excited about what you're working on, trying to get other people to maybe feel that kind of thing. But at the end of the day, you do kind of have to call on a lot of friends,
right.
Coworkers, family, strangers even. So there's a lot of that. But yeah, I mean, with Metanoia, we were shooting it in like a small town. So just the things that kind of, when you do it yourself, and you have to kind of find all of these favors in a way and all these shortcuts to get something done without any money, that's when like really interesting kind of stories can pop up, because it wasn't something that was like, okay, this will be given to you because we paid for it.
Mm-hmm.
So then you meet interesting people, or you do funny things to, like, you know, it's the long way around to get the same result, or as close to it as you can. But, you know, you spent really no money. So with even like the location for Metanoia, we were looking for a really small town to film it in. And I've always enjoyed driving, so it wasn't something that bothered me at all. But I just started kind of driving around Alberta, really. not anything like outside of like 2 hours, but a bunch of small towns within kind of 2 hours, east,
yeah.
south, northwest kind of thing. So we checked out a bunch until we kind of found one that works, and then you know, thankfully we were able to basically, you know, walk up to people who lived in that town and like tell them what we're doing, and then see what kind of reaction we get.
Yeah.
Those are definitely some of the funniest, like, just bizarre stories.
yeah.
In Hazar, there was this beautiful like Ford truck. I don't know anything about cars or vehicles, but it was like old and it was beautiful, and like right away we noticed it.
Yeah.
And so at that point we knew like a few people in the town. We're like, does anyone know who owns that truck or lived there? Like, no, it's a brand new family. No one really knows them well.
Yeah.
And we wanted to use it in the film as like a car that is driving around and ripping up and down the streets. And we're like, well, let's just go knock on the guy's door and ask him if we can drive his truck around like for this film. And like just basically like going in cold like that, not saying, hey, we know so-and-so, like, we are complete strangers. What do you think about us using your truck that, like, you've obviously maintained beautifully?
Yeah.
It's,
yeah. There's,
like, it's,
there's no insurance.
It literally had over a million clicks on it.
Holy shit.
Over a million.
Wow.
Like, it is old, but so well kept. And so we kind of threw it out there at him, and he's like standing in the door, and we're like, you can tell he's like not sure what's
yeah.
happening.
You've
so
been
then we're
the...
like, we'll be like, well, come back in like an hour and a half, basically just to give him time to like think about it.
Yeah.
So we like walked around a bit more, came back. We're like, so like, what do you think? And he's like, sure, yeah, okay. So I just like, next thing you know, like every time we would go to film, we just grab the keys from him and, you know, drive around. And we took it to Drumheller, which was about maybe a half an hour, 40-minute drive from the town of Hazar where
right.
we filmed it.
Yeah.
So took it out of the town kind of thing. And
and just the currency was like just that. Excitement. That's what you sold them. That was the
sometimes
trade?
I mean, like, if I feel
filled it with gas and
yeah, I feel like with some people, like closer friends or people you're asking for maybe even a time commitment on, then yeah, maybe you're just trying to be like, hey, I really care about this project that I'm working on and we don't have the resources to do it.
But in this scenario, so
but sometimes truck, yeah, but in scenarios like this, honestly, you're counting on it doesn't matter, like he didn't really care if we're passionate about the project.
Right.
When it's that quick of an interaction, it's just about someone honestly being like if they want to be nice and kind and just why not?
Yeah.
Which we encountered a lot of out in that town. So right.
Yeah, I remember at the showing you had a lot of good things to say, and maybe this is the guy who you gave a specific shout out to, or maybe I feel
Well, yeah, I mean, there's like just like we could spend you know 20 minutes just talking about some of the crazy things people did for us out in Hazar.
Right.
It's about 200 people live in this town, but we filmed in the mayor's house. It's like a 100-year-old house, and like we emptied out a room completely. Like he basically went through like few days of cleaning out cupboards and closets of all the gunk just to give us a room that was empty, which we needed. And then we would go in there and be like, hey, we're going to basically be here from, you know, in your house today from 7 till 2 a.m. He'd just go over to his brother's house, let us run around with our shoes, like carrying equipment through. So he's helping us out in that way. And then there was a decommissioned abandoned church, like just right next door, basically.
Right.
And it was owned by another family that lived out there. They found out that we were doing a little independent short film, and they just offered up the space, the church, as a way for us to have lunch and store our gear
Sweet.
In. So we were having all of our cast and crew meetings and eating food in this abandoned church.
Right.
And even one night, they cooked us, like all, you know, 15 of us that were there, maybe more, maybe 15 or, you know, upwards of 20 people, they cooked us, like pulled pork sandwiches. Like,
nice.
They cooked us dinner.
Yeah.
Complete strangers. So things like that are just pretty
weird. That just makes you feel good about the whole project too, right? Like,
yeah.
It's cool to see people being so gracious, and it gives a lot of momentum to a project that you've already worked on, and it gives it that communal feel. Everyone there is probably just so stoked that this is all coming together. Like, this is really happening.
Yeah, and they did play a big part in that, because I remember the one day that we went out there, it was Gabe and our cinematographer on Metanoia. His name was Jordan Drake, and we went out there one night to kind of look around, but then we were just getting, again, like, people who were, like, in their backyard would see us, talk to us, ask us what we're doing, and we got they just started offering up locations. You want to shoot in here? Mm-hmm. How about this? I own this barn. I own this old abandoned building. You want to take a look? Maybe you want to use it. And then that was, like, a big turning point that night. I remember, like, the energy in the car driving back was, like, wow, like, we've got a special...
We had to turn people down by the end of it.
Yeah,
like, no,
honestly...
Man, we don't need to use your bedroom
pretty
to
much.
Shoot here.
Yeah, pretty
That's
much.
That's not the
like,
kind
we
of film we're
that,
doing.
Yeah, yeah. Like, we don't need to use this abandoned bank or, like, it's just a little... It's like, we don't need it. But that was kind of, like... Certainly, that type of energy was a big part of, like, I think... Yeah, a turning point in a way where on the drive back, I remember thinking, like, okay, we're on our way here, and we're excited, and we're really thrilled to now all of a sudden we've got a great opportunity and great locations, so let's go out and, you know, make this thing.
So as far as on-site, when you're actually producing, maybe kind of tell us and the large audience that we have on listening right now, the thousands out there.
Yeah.
Kind of what your guys' specific roles are. We'll start with you, Gabe, and then maybe even touch on the other people that aren't here, some other critical roles, and just quick shout-outs. Give a couple name drops, you know?
Yeah.
It's never a bad idea.
Yeah,
then they'll listen. You'll be like, yeah, I brought you up.
Yeah. No, I got the first draft of Metanoia, and I remember just reading it, and I'm usually like, okay. Like, I think it was pretty still, like, it was like 6 pages.
Yeah,
and
I took out, like, the last page.
And then you
I
ripped
had,
out
like,
the last
written
page.
This bad ending, and I ripped it out so you couldn't read it.
Yeah, and so, really, I think mine's usually, like, I do more, like, art direction, and I kind of, what we like to divide ourselves into, like, stuff that I can't do and things that he can't do, and,
right.
like, I'll do that, and he'll do the other stuff.
As you should,
and, yeah, and so I'm usually the one who's, like, nitpicking, like, the font, and, like, I'm the one who's, like, I don't like that.
Wardrobe
that mirror in the back, or let's change that, or details, and like it's so funny we recently shot something, and I don't know, one of our actors had like the hair that was sort of not good on camera. And I was like, I was in it. I couldn't help and like fix the hair. And like, I remember like looking back on the footage, I'm like, Levi, all you had to do was pat the hair down. He's like, I honestly did not see that.
Or like, I was like, I never would have done that.
Right.
Or Levi's like, I'm like, Levi, what's ISO? He's like, what's ISO, Levi? I don't know. He's like, how do you not know what that is? I'm like, I forget. And so he's literally trying to like, so that's our dynamic. It's like, I have no idea how to use the camera, but I can.
Complementary skills. Yeah. That's what it's all about.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And so, so the art direction,
music,
conceptual, the music, you did the full soundtrack for right?
That was probably a tough thing to do because originally we just wanted sound.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then we eventually were like, that's kind of crazy. And then that's kind of really art house. And like, and then we started adding more music as the film went along because like you kind of need that sometimes.
Yeah.
But like we usually like to call music like duct tape. Sometimes if a scene doesn't work, we'll just like put music.
Especially at this stage when like you again aren't quite making something the way you want to. It's like music has been used as duct tape in the past. Maybe it wasn't supposed to be there, but this scene doesn't work well enough on its own. It was supposed to. We need music to come in and you know, make up for maybe bad sound or an atmosphere that we didn't quite capture without it. So we've used it in a we're getting better at it. I think not as it being a complimentary thing and not something that's like trying to save the scene.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Still sometimes that pops up where it's like, we need a track to like make up for the stuff that,
for something.
That we didn't get.
Call in Gabe.
It's
like, Gabe, I got a problem. The scene is shit.
Pretty much.
We need a good track here.
Yeah.
No, so, for like the last part of the Metanoia, I did maybe four versions of the ending track.
Yeah.
And I'm still not kind of happy with it.
Really?
Just because we had different. But no, I did. We did like four.
What's
versions.
That one called again? I want to play that one like during this at some point.
That last one on Metanoia.
Yeah.
When you get home.
When you get home, it's on Sound.
It's on SoundCloud.
SoundCloud.
Isn't it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that one. I had made four versions of that, and I wanted something more electronic and creepy, and Levi's like, enough.
Yeah. Most of the time, like, it is, the soundtrack is a lot of work, obviously, and it's just Gabe doing it. There's no one else. Like, it's just him on his computer. And a lot of the tracks that he did, like, are almost his first go at what we might do is fantastic. Like, I'm like, yeah, okay, that's great. Like, that one track was the one that we maybe had different visions for.
We sat in my room for, like, hours.
We were getting, that was like the testiest, like we were getting a little bit on each other's
nerves.
And like,
I was
just fundamental disagreements on what that track's supposed to be. And then he's doing it multiple times. So at that point we were like starting to reach like.
Yeah. How do you get, when you're fundamentally not on the same page, it's just not gonna.
Yeah, no, but that's the thing. We can sit in a room and actually get stuff done.
Yeah.
And like we can actually.
Clearly. I mean, you guys have pumped out a lot of stuff.
Yeah, but that's something that I've learned. Because sometimes you're with someone, all you do is joke around or you just never get on the same page. But with me and Levi, we can always be like, we have to finish this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, that was a long night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You were like, move that sound. I'm like, what sound? That sound. And like, I have to like move it like a second. You're like, that's better. I'm like, what are you talking about?
Yeah,
that's.
But you still weren't like you're still not totally happy with it.
I mean, I just always wanted something more electronic. Like the song that plays in the credits is the song I wanted.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but
it was slightly different philosophies on what that scene's supposed to feel like in a way. The music that he wrote for that scene is, it's different from the rest of the soundtrack.
Yeah.
Very different.
Yeah.
It's separate in sounding, which I wanted.
Right.
He wanted something a little closer.
I wanted
still the same world.
Yeah.
halfway point here in the podcast. Yeah, I alluded to or just yelled out what was on the picture. That was a big component and the probably the biggest question people had walking away from watching Metanoia.
Yeah.
Just a little bit of ambiguity there.
Just a bit.
Yeah.
It's not that confusing of a film, honestly.
Well, for us, you know, folk.
Yeah,
our simple-minded folk were a little bit torn up about our confusion.
Yeah.
If you want to speak to it at all or what you were going for there and all that kind of stuff.
Well, this could be, you know, trouble because it gets really pretentious really quick. It's kind of hard to avoid, so I'm not going to worry about it. But it's funny because there's been, like, people who have watched the film. Certainly there's been people who have liked it, people who haven't, and wherever you fall on that spectrum, there's also been a wildly different interpretations of it. Like, wildly different views. Everything from some people being like, oh, is she, you know, the main character, does she kill herself at the beginning, at the end? Is her mom dead? Is her dad dead? Was she in a car crash? Is it a film about cultural differences between English and French-speaking Canada? Is she transgender, which is something we got recently? We've gotten very religious, like, interpretations of, like, her dad is God and her mom's, like, the Holy Ghost, and she, like, it's, like, the Trinity, like, very, so...
Really?
Yeah.
She's, that she's Jesus?
I've gotten that.
Wow.
I see that now.
So, it's been, like, all over the place, and it's always kind of, like, fun or interesting to hear. Yeah, I guess when it comes to, like, I don't really like to say, and when I talk about why, I just steal, like, one of the artists or filmmakers that has had, like, a big impact on me the past year or so is David Lynch. And it's not even because I haven't even seen that many of his movies, but interviews I've watched when he just talks about art in general, like, I just steal his answers now because I think they're so great.
Yeah.
And he makes films that... I'm not saying, like, I'm trying to model what I make after him. I think the stuff he makes isn't necessarily always my favorite stuff. But he talks about all of the kind of work that go, and this is where it gets pretentious, but all of the work that goes into the soundtrack and the actors' performances and how you shoot it and things like costume and to try to, I guess, like, take all that work and the experience hopefully someone watching it gets out of it and then kind of put it back into one simple sentence using just words. It's like, it doesn't convey the meaning in the same way. And it's like what he always says. Again, this is talking about, like, if he makes a great film.
Just go with it.
Yeah, I'm just going with it. But if he makes, like, a great film, what he will talk about is, like, it's like when you listen to a great piece of music. You know, you can't describe what that piece of music is like to someone and have the same effect. It's just like the words fail you. The only thing you can do is be like, you have to listen to this song.
Right.
You listen to a really uplifting or sad or just a, like, an incredible piece of music. You can only show someone it. You can't be like, hey, this song is really cool. They did this thing where they
Totally true.
You know, it's like you can only kind of get there. And so I think I really like that where you should try to just experience the film and it should stand on its own for better or for worse. It doesn't mean it's necessarily good,
right.
But once it's done, I think it should be its own thing that is kind of complete.
So, okay, that was very eloquently put.
You didn't answer the question.
But
yeah.
I cut and dry. The people want to know. I'm here for the people, Levi.
Yeah, yeah.
The people want to know what was on the picture. Are you going to tell us?
No, I won't say.
Okay.
I won't
That's,
say.
See,
yeah.
All right. Well, there you go.
But
I respect that, by the way.
Well, and the other thing is, too, is, like, honestly, there were intentions in the film that maybe we had on, like, in the script of, like, before we started filming, this is what this scene is supposed to feel like.
Right.
And then we went to shoot it, and a bunch of things came off differently or came off worse or better, but they changed. But the intention behind them didn't, but they no longer, like, read the same way they were supposed to. So when I, like, talk about it, I'm always going to talk about the film from what I wanted it to like come across as, right, instead of talking about what is actually kind of the finished product.
Okay.
So that's another way in which I don't feel like it's fair to say, oh, your interpretation is way wrong. This is what it's actually about.
Right.
Because it kind of became this thing that actually was kind of detached from what I was trying to do originally.
Right.
Fairly so.
But this kind of goes back to what you said earlier, is you just keep on trooping. You just keep making the project,
mm-hmm,
right?
Yeah.
One way or another, and it evolves and it morphs and it changes, and for better or worse, you just keep hammering away at it.
Yeah.
And you get what you get with the resources you had, and
yeah, it's funny. Like, what I like about filmmaking or art is like a lot of the things I just said, but that's also what I hate about it. Like, I immediately regret what I said the past 5 minutes.
That's true. I regret everything I say at all times.
Yeah.
It's an instant regret. Like, what did I say then?
Mm-hmm. You're constantly like jabbing yourself and analyzing yourself, right?
I don't know. Maybe it's like our generation, but it's just like, I can't stop. You're like, why did I say that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes it's like the worst, like offensive, like I was trying to be funny and I just offended everyone here.
Yeah, it's probably partially the personality types that draw artists, like artists in general, right? That typical personality type that's very introspective and very critical, oftentimes of ourselves.
Yeah.
Single. Okay, so that was basically Metanoia in a nutshell. We covered a lot of stuff there.
Mm-hmm.
Gabe, you want to talk about the film that you just made, or do you want to go forward with what you guys are going to do in the new year? Whatever you want to kind of touch on now, it's open.
Well, we're currently editing a new project.
Yeah.
And it's kind of where we've been editing for a while, but there was just so much footage,
mm-hmm,
like a ton of footage for such a small project. And we're very excited about it because it's, I guess, more political than what we've ever done before. And it's different in the sense that it doesn't have a narration. And it's interesting. It's different. And we shot it here, of course, we shot it in Alberta, all across, you know, these nice, the rolling hills and the prairies and the mountains. And we're dealing with, like, interesting subject matter. And we're very excited, mm-hmm, about it.
Mm-hmm.
We're very...
Yeah?
Yeah. I don't know how much to say.
We gotta kind of keep it in the dark, I'm guessing, a little bit.
That's what I'm thinking. Yeah. Do you want to keep it in the dark, or do you want to, like, open it up?
I mean, I don't necessarily think that... You can talk a little bit about it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think it has to
say. Does it have a name and everything already?
Well, we're calling it Civil for now.
Civil.
Which I like.
Yeah.
It's probably got a good chance at staying. But it also depends on how long it takes to finish. The longer it takes to finish,
the more
likely
everything.
It is to be like, I hate this name now. But, it is something that is different than what we've made before. And we shot it in September and October.
Yeah.
And kind of started talking about it in, like, July, August.
Yeah.
And, and yeah, I mean, just when Gabe was saying there, we shot it in, I think, four different locations, east and west of Calgary. That's also, like, one of the advantages of doing drives around. Like, a big part of film and visuals is just having a good kind of encyclopedia of locations. Be like, hey, I know this place that I can go to that's going to give us what we want.
Mm-hmm.
And you only really get that by... driving around, you know? And so we've kind of collected a decent bank of interesting places, I think, especially because we haven't been doing this for that long. We're off to a good start with places that we like to shoot, because we've done a lot of kind of aimless driving out down back roads and stuff like that. And we use them a bit in this film, just driving out to an abandoned farmland and checking it out there.
Or public land.
Yeah.
They're like poachers and like they're shooting.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, hopefully you don't get shot out here.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
So you guys are in the editing stage. So all your filming's been done?
All the filming is done for it. Yeah. For Civil. Yeah.
Okay.
And,
so
I was just going to say it's interesting because there was certainly a concept behind it. And And we did talk about kind of like, you know, what we wanted to do, but there was never a formal script of any kind. There was never really, it, in a lot of ways, it was kind of a half and half, I felt half and half mixed between like a written narrative type of short, but it almost like felt more like a documentary at times. Huh. Not at times.
So it's not really, when it's all said and done, you don't think it's really going to nestle into a specific genre too comfortably?
I don't know. What do you think? I mean, it's still it's early. Not a doc. It's just we were using people who sometimes weren't even actors, and they weren't even being told to be anything other than themselves. Oh, so okay. In some ways, we were capturing people as they were, and
cool,
the types of like things that are seen on screen, like whether it's nervousness or laughter, that kind of thing, were like very authentic and genuine because that's what was happening.
Yeah.
Especially because we would get sometimes the actors who were in it, we didn't know that well. We maybe had just met them. Gabe took care of all of the casting and did a lot of work to try to find as diverse a cast as possible.
Right.
And that took a lot of time. But then, you know, he barely knew these people. I barely knew them. And then their scene partner, they barely knew. So sometimes it was like four strangers. It would just be us two and then the two people on camera.
Yeah.
Barely, you know, who barely know each other. And kind of trying to work through this thing and film and create moments and stuff like that. So it was kind of funny, but I'm glad that we did it that way because it gives, I think, certain energy to the shots. And that's what I mean when sometimes it felt like a documentary. Uh-huh. Because you didn't know what was going to happen and what people just did out as themselves kind of showed up. But
okay.
It also sometimes would venture into a mixed bag of, can you do this? Give us this type of expression, or
right.
You know,
directing
walk over
times.
Here. Sometimes there would be more set stuff, but a lot of the footage we were happiest with were like kind of the messiest, almost like home footage esque.
Huh.
You know, let's go cool. Hang out with these people and just shoot some stuff as they hang out for a few hours.
Yeah,
and a lot of that footage was our favorite. So
to kind of zoom in on the nuts and bolts of the whole process, just as an example. This Civil, we're calling it that
yeah.
For now.
Yeah.
You guys, okay, so how much footage, like time-wise, do you have, and how long do you envision the actual film?
How much footage in total?
We in total,
including all the slow-mo.
I think it was like 14 hours. 14 hours.
But
there's a lot of slow-mo in that, so that
okay.
That can quickly expand the timeline.
So in real
doubles.
Time, it's
in real
to
time, maybe six.
6 hours.
6 hours, something like that.
And
then as far as like actually like usable footage that we went through all of that, kind of picked out the actual usable footage, we were still sitting at about an hour and a half
yeah.
of what we considered to be good footage.
And then you start stitching.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's what we've been, that's what I literally was doing yesterday, like finding the best of all the stuff that I like. And that is still, I'm down to like 25 minutes of stuff that I like.
Yeah.
And I think we're, depending on, that's the thought that we do not know whether it's going to be maybe 4 minutes or maybe longer.
Mm-hmm.
But
I think at max, maybe 6 minutes. And it could be like, yeah, anywhere from 3 to 6 minutes.
Yeah. And
is that what you're thinking too, Gabe?
That's the thing. Right now, no, I'm on the short side.
Oh, okay.
And he's on the long side.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay, I see.
Yeah, but not in all ways.
Oh, snap, Gabe!
But,
strike two.
Oh, snap.
But no, I really, we're editing, so we do not know the duration. So
right.
That's actually the biggest problem that we're facing is
yeah.
There's so much good footage that we do not know how to
just cutting stuff out and also like how to shape it because there's like no script telling us, okay, this is the
yeah.
order of this scene, this is the order of that scene. It's like, all right, now we went and shot stuff that feels right and collected a large bank of the type of footage that we want, but editing in a lot of ways will be like the most type of directing that we do on
yeah.
this film and writing. Like
mm.
Now we're almost writing and directing the thing in editing, because with something like this, which is very different from the films that we've done in the past, which
mm-hmm.
is like, okay, we write a script, we go cast it, we shoot it according to the script, and then put
yeah.
it in order. This is like, now what type of film do we want? Like, how long are the shots? Like, you know, we have all sorts of different types of
yeah.
emotion.
It seems like at this stage, you guys are just trying to do like different, like experiment with different creative processes. Right? Like, it seems like you're intentionally going different directions all the time, which is good because you're growing and getting a different skill set and understanding of how you piece things together, right? Like, it's, I don't think maybe you're not thinking that in your head that we need to be doing this, but it seems like maybe you're drawn to just switching things up. Mm-hmm. Would you say that's fair?
I feel like for this one, like, our biggest, because every time you make something, you learn something from it. This one's like learning about how to like edit, but in an editorial way where you choose, like, there's three shots and they're all great, mm-hmm. but you gotta choose one.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of hard stuff, because, like, you know, you get kind of like super selfish, or you get super like, this is amazing, let's just make a 1 hour film.
Right.
But that could happen.
Or an hour long trailer for the 3 minute film.
Yeah.
That's what we're currently considering. That's what we want to
do. 6 hours of trailer footage. But that's, I think we're going to learn that around with this, because we gotta be picky.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And most of the time, sometimes you have really not so great footage, mm-hmm. and you gotta like make that work, which is like, I guess, like,
because it's the only stuff you have.
You're right. Now it covers that. Yeah. So now you need to have that. You gotta have that scene. You gotta have that shot. But now we have so much. We're like, oh wow, we can really. Yeah.
Because it's not just a shot list. It's not just like, what's the most, you know, visually beautiful stuff. Let's put that in there. In order for it to feel like a cohesive film and a story, and there to be a point to it, you need to kind of construct something that feels that way, which sometimes means, okay, yeah, for sure, these 10 shots are all more beautiful than this one. Like, if I was making, let's say, just a demo reel of like nice shots I've done,
mm-hmm.
or something, or I wanted to like pull them as photographs, I certainly would use these over this. But as far as like what I need to for the right rhythm for the piece, I unfortunately have to take this uglier one, because maybe it just has, you know, this action, it has the right speed, it fits in, it cuts better with this, and it ultimately is serving the whole thing instead of just serving kind of it itself as just that one shot. It's serving the film as a whole. So that's tricky. but also just filming it in a way where it's like just quickly detecting like what we think looks good, instead of stuff that looks ugly, because we didn't have a shot list of things that we were looking for. So I felt like I was getting better at, okay, don't even bother putting the camera in a place that you now know is going to be boring.
Right.
You know, and just kind of getting a quicker sleight of hand of being like, find interesting shots faster.
Yeah.
And
because then you have less in editing and production time, right? Like, mm-hmm. you don't spend as much time pissing around with, like, trying to, with a fine comb, like, trying to pick out that 3 seconds of, you have only maybe, you know, 2-3 minutes of it instead of 10.
Yeah. Well, right? Even the first day, right? Like,
the first, we shot with them for how long? For, like, maybe a few hours, and then we did 2 days with them. And then,
but, like, that night, we were looking at the footage.
We looked at that, but it's funny, like, those 2 days, I cut down to, like, a minute of footage.
Oh, wow.
And that's, right?
2 days.
2 days of footage into 1 minute. And it's just because you rewatch it to the point where you almost get bored of it. And you become like, this is bad. This is good. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
But it's, I don't know. It's,
and just, from a time investment perspective, like, just thinking of 2 hours just as 2 hours. That's, mm-hmm. there it goes, mm-hmm. right? Then you're probably going to watch that 2 hours at least a few times.
Yeah.
And then you're going to shrink it down, and then you're going to watch that 30 minutes you have left a couple times. You're already talking about a day to get 1 minute.
Yeah.
And that's just in editing.
Yeah. With this one, we were trying to collect a lot, so.
No, but the crazy thing is, like, you go out and you drive out there. Like, what we did with one of our two girls, like, we went out to, like, by Johnson Canyon.
Yeah.
And we were out there, like, at 12, and then
shot until sunset.
We shot till sunset.
Past sunset, yeah.
So that was around like,
it was like a full 8.5 hour. Like, well, and then driving back.
And then driving back.
From picking them up to coming home, it was a 12-hour day.
And then I think I tried to cut down to like 3 minutes of footage.
Yeah.
And from then, I'm going to, you know, that's the thing. You go out there for like a full day for a handful of shots.
Yeah.
That's new for
us. I'm trying to get that across, because that's another one of the things.
Yeah.
You know what, it's existing, but not until you actually know a filmmaker do you get
this. Yeah, but it's also important. Like, again, it's a different type of project. So we did that for this one, but sometimes it could be very precise where go out and you know exactly what you're looking for and you don't have to try to find it and then you shoot it and it's like a quick turnaround. There's different styles. It's not to say like that's the way that we like or we'll do, but it's good because we learned ways by doing something that way. We learned some things and then doing it different ways we learned other things.
You guys are still...
Then we have a bigger kind of, I think our skill set grows a bit.
Yeah, and you guys are still so young. I mean, at the outset, you used some good... you described it well. I forget what you said, but it kind of made me think that hopefully in, like, 10, 12 years or whatever it is from now, we, like, can look back on this podcast and you guys are big time and shit and we're like... Or you guys are at least very happy with where you've gotten to from an artistic standpoint.
You've given up, but you're at least happy.
Yeah, I'm just trying to say, like... I hope that this is just a laughable, little cute podcast, and you guys are...
This is the highlight. Yeah,
well, like, it's just, like, a funny little note that, like... Oh, you guys see that podcast from Left Side Pictures when they were young?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Because you guys are how old?
I'm 21.
And
I'm 23.
There you go. Yeah. So I got a couple of years on you. Just a couple.
Well, my birthday's coming up. I'm like,
okay.
So.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm old, I promise.
Okay, we got about 10 minutes or so left. I kind of want them all to be about an hour on this podcast series. Yep.
You guide us. You tell us where you want us to... What do you want to touch on?
Beyond Civil,
mm-hmm.
What else? We also skipped way past the accolades of Metanoia and how it was in the Calgary Film Festival. It won all sorts of awards and stuff. But I know that can be kind of awkward and we're kind of going out of rhythm to go back to that. So I'm just going to put that up in the content itself when I post this.
Mm-hmm.
I think, and like a picture will have that up there and stuff. So that will touch on that and do the pump your guys' tires a little bit.
Okay.
tell us beyond Civil... what you got, and then I'm gonna try and find another song meanwhile while you're talking. I am listening play us out
Right now we've kind of been going back and forth between talking about kind of what's next and maybe what next year is supposed to look like. It's typically kind of always gone one project at a time instead of, you know, of course every now and then you might be thinking, oh, I'd love to do this project way down the road, or, you know, maybe one day I could do a full feature film on this idea or something like that. But typically we don't have a three-step plan of this film, then this film that we have queued up, then this one, and this one, that third one we'll get into Sundance, and then we're set. It's kind of just like, all right, well, what's next? And let's work on that and see how that goes. So we kind of just take it one project at a time. And right now for myself, I feel comfortable enough to say kind of finishing up a script.
Mm-hmm.
It's at a point where I'm going to make it. It will be my next short film. I'm happy with what's there. So I'm just finishing up and kind of getting all the ideas, but my mind's starting to turn towards things like pre-production. There's always certain types of research that I want to put into it. Location scouting has already started. I've done a couple drives out to mm-hmm. the types of places I might want to film. And then maybe January, February, start having more of an eye out for casting and mm-hmm. casting the main character first and foremost. Right. It's not really an ensemble. There's one main character and then a lot of kind of almost extras. So, the script is almost kind of... It's still a lot of work, but... It's at the point where I feel a lot of it is there and I feel good about it. So it's kind of starts to turn towards pre-production. And if we can go for a grant and maybe try to get one, but regardless, I think, you know, the goal is to shoot it, grant or not.
Actually, I've heard Sleepless, I think. I think I'll probably
play that. We made a video for that.
You gotta give this Leora a little bit of a shout out. Give her some love, because she's on a few.
Well, we can't go the whole time without. Well,
yeah, she has a new band.
You guys have dropped like no names, so I'm just gonna give you the opportunity.
We're selfish.
I know.
We're selfish, egocentric people.
So deep in your art, just maybe. No. I guess it's kind of tough because you don't want to leave anybody out.
Yeah. No, I mean, like, honestly, the amount of people that helped out, even on Metanoia, like the cinematographer Jordan Drake won an AMPIA award for best cinematography short film. So on Metanoia.
Yeah.
And our friend Barad, who's just one of like our best buds and is an actor, but
yeah,
also
he like helped you produce.
He was a co-producer on Metanoia. Did so much work in terms of like introducing us into the acting community.
Yeah.
Which now have become friends and also contacts of people that, you know, we've worked with already.
He had a great speech at the premiere too.
Yeah, he did. He did say a nice little blurb before the film played. But so Barad is someone that we, you know, work closely with still. And like I said, he's in the past, like on Metanoia, he was a huge part of producing it and bringing it to life. But also on set, he was crucial. He was an assistant director, but he's an actor himself. And he was in Gabe's short film last year and he did a fantastic job.
Yeah.
So we kind of work with him in a couple different ways.
Your boy Tanner is always helping out, isn't
Tanner
he?
Tanner is always kind of the stunt man, you know, when we need
stunt
someone
man.
Who has
grip,
fantastic athletic abilities, good control of their body to pull off dangerous...
Average
dangerous
looks.
Things. Yeah, average looks. We don't want the stunt man to, you know, be too good looking. Tanner fits that, so he's always someone who's helped out since day one.
Yeah.
He's always in the credits as stunt man, so...
Okay. And, well... Obviously, there's going to be people left out. You got a long, long list. So those people, you know, classic, you know who you are.
They're like, do we?
Yeah. Well, maybe not.
Yeah.
Did you have anyone in mind, Gabe? Just a...
Yeah. I've always worked with Leora. We have. She has a new band.
Oh, nice.
It's an all-girl band, and they're called... I know it.
I put you on the spot.
I know.
I saw it leave your mind right as I said it. I was like,
and the thing is, the lead singer
I just wanted to see him suffer.
The lead singer, I'll just go around it. The lead singer is Amber Bossy, who was on the Heights soundtrack with us.
Okay, cool.
So she's singing, and Leora's doing bass as well as like singing, I think, backup. And then there's this all girl.
It's Opal Nocturnes, I think.
Opal Nocturnes. I think that's how you say it. And there's an all girl band. So that's what she's doing, and I'm excited to hear and to see what they're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Keeping it, you know, local.
Sweet.
Yeah. Local love.
Anybody else? Or are we just going to fade right into...
Well, yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's exciting collaborating with people. Obviously, like, the main actress on Metanoia, Raya, she was... fantastic, I thought. I learned so much from working with her. It was the first time I felt like I really was like, I just learned so much from diving in with her closely because it was such a singular character type film.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I could see that.
Me and her got to work very closely together. Everyone else who was in it was great, but I very rarely actually gave them like intense. Well, I never gave them like, you know, very detailed or time-consuming direction or long, but Raya and I had a good time really diving in, and I'm very happy with what she did, and she was great to work with. And she's a local actress, and everything I've ever seen her do in theater and in this film has been great, so hopefully she's someone like we get to see do more stuff.
Yeah.
Hey. All right, I'm gonna shut down the shout-outs. Thanks for listening.
Stand here.